Welcome to the Man Cave Podcast with Dan Casper.
Doing great.
Hey, we'll lead off. Hudson finally got an answer on Julius Randle. It was reported yesterday that he's going to go have surgery on his shoulder. I was reading a little bit here too, Austin, that apparently they put him through a workout like, you know, like banging on his shoulder and all that, and he re-aggravated the shoulder injury, I guess, and now he's having surgery. So is that... Is there any concern maybe about some future potential, like, long-term damage, the fact that he re-injured it before having surgery, or is that kind of a typical process?
I mean, it can go both ways. When you look at it, like we had talked about before, this is a shoulder stability issue. So his shoulder was dislocating, and that inevitably means injury to the labrum. So, you know, if he was having just pain and subluxation, it's unlikely that actually caused a lot of further damage. Now, full dislocations in and of themselves can cause further damage. So it is possible that he had, let's say, a shear injury to the cartilage or an injury to the capsule as well. But usually with these, it's a lot of times stays isolated to the labrum. So in all likelihood, it's going to work out just as well if he had the surgery right away or delayed. But my assumption is this is going to be a standard shoulder arthroscopy labral repair. Odds of him getting back to playing at a high level is quite high. But, of course, there's the recovery process ahead of him. But it is a very highly successful surgery.
Moving over to football, Cooper DeJean, the safety from or defensive back from Iowa there was earlier this week that his agent had sent out a report to all the teams that he was cleared for football activities, and he's going to have his pro day coming up on the 8th here. Now, he had broken a fibula during mid-November practice and underwent surgery. Is that a typical, like, no long-term issue with that? Because this is a guy that a lot of Packers fans would like to see, but, you know, injury-wise, is there any long-term issue with that?
Generally, no. You know, if it's an isolated ankle fracture, which, you know, one of the ankle bones is the fibula, it's the most commonly fractured one with an ankle fracture. A lot of times they're able to get back and play at a very high level, especially if it is isolated to that side. You know, there is the possibility for other injuries, as always. So with the ankle, we do get concerned about ligament injuries or sometimes the cartilage. But depending on the mechanism, and this one being that it was a football injury, unlikely was that, you know, high energy, real nasty associated injury. So there's a very good chance he's going to get back and play basically where it was before he was injured. So you never know for sure. And again, I'm sure teams are doing their due diligence and going to be getting x-rays, potentially even CTs or MRIs to really assess and make sure it's healed. But there's a good chance he'll be back at full go.
Kind of going all over the place here, but I saw this yesterday. It was just kind of a comment, I think, from a baseball writer, but you know, there was a tweet or something that this writer said, whenever you hear a baseball player, you know, inflamed elbow, and you don't hear a manager or a team say too much about it, but it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that they're going to have Tommy John surgery. Do you think that's fair to say something like that, if it's a inflamed elbow, that it's Tommy John surgery, or could there be other factors involved in that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is an oversimplification. I mean, certainly it depends on the position, right? So if you're talking about a pitcher and you talk about elbow inflammation, certainly it's high on your list. So that inner ligament, the UCL, a.k.a. the Tommy John ligament. Yeah, when you hear about that, it's certainly really high on the list. But there's, I mean, like all people, you know, you can get injury and overuse on the tendons. So people get, like, good old-fashioned tennis elbow, golfer's elbow, some medial lateral epicondylitis. I mean, those things can certainly happen to pro athletes just like they can happen to, you know, quote, regular people. So it isn't necessarily, but again, that's certainly something that you see pretty prevalent. But it's when it becomes kind of over and over. So if you have a pitcher that goes on the IR and needs to rest their elbow and then comes back and then goes back on it, that's when you start saying, uh-oh, we're probably doing something more structural, and then certainly the UCL is at the top of that list.
When, you know, Joe Ross, who's a Brewers pitcher, he just pitched the other day, he's had two Tommy John surgeries, and you know, we've heard, like, if you have a Tommy John surgery, if it recovers well, it could be a little bit stronger. What about two of those surgeries? Does it still make it stronger, or does it actually make it a little bit weaker if it's on the same elbow?
Yeah, I mean, that is a great discussion to have. So there is that conception out there that people say, you know, I get the Tommy John, my elbow's gonna be stronger. I mean, in some senses, I suppose it's true. I mean, the ligament that we put in, mean, the Tommy John ligament, the UCL, is not really big, and we usually put in either a tendon from the forearm or a tendon from the knee in its place, and those are definitely bigger. So in some regards, it is stronger. And then, in addition, the follow-up after the surgery, there's real intense rehab, so you build up the strength. And a lot of times, people's arms really haven't been rehabilitated that way ever. So in some ways, they're stronger. So it's like you put in a stronger ligament, and they do the rehab. So there is a little bit of truth in that, I suppose. If it fails a second time, so you have the injury, then you have a surgery and it fails again, I mean, you can go back and do it again, and there's still pretty good success rate with that. But I would say it's certainly, it'd be more concerning. So the odds of it being successful is lower with a second one than the first one. So it's not going to make it stronger yet. But can they recover from that and be at 100% or close to it? Certainly. But you just get worried that there's something that else is maybe going on. And then when we do it, we have to drill tunnels, and now you're reusing tunnels, and that's never ideal either. So it's the revision surgery for any joint. So in this case, the elbow, but any revision surgery, there's always more angst when you're the surgeon doing it, because there's a lot more factors in play.
When it comes to, you know, I don't know if it's just with the Tommy John surgery or if there's another one, but we hear, you know, it's the injury wasn't painful or that painful or anything like that. It's just the recovery process really kind of, or the rehab process really gets to these players because it's so long and it's so draining. Like, I guess, you know, for the general sense, why is it such a long process to recover from something like a Tommy John or even an ACL injury?
Yeah, I mean, well, all of them have their own specific factors that come into play. So if you're talking about the elbow and the Tommy John or the ACL and the knee, it really has a couple different major factors. The first being the actual healing of what we did. So when we do, with both those surgeries, you talk about a reconstruction. So we're taking a tendon from somewhere else in your body and we're putting it in a new place. So that graft has to incorporate into the bone, that because we both those surgeries done through bone tunnels. So we drill tunnels in the bone and then secure the graft. And so the body literally has to heal that back in place. Then there's a process called ligamentization, where our body incorporates and really kind of grows into that that tissue. And so that's one end of it. And then early on, that's really where the major restrictions are, is that we're just waiting for the graft to heal in. And then you have to build the strength back up. So whatever you're talking about, a knee injury, an elbow injury, not only is there the actual surgical damage, but most athletes had an injury prior to that. So now you have an injury, a surgery, and surgery is, I mean, the body doesn't like it. So there's swelling, pain, et cetera. Then we either immobilize or shut the leg down or arm down, and then people have to build the muscle back up. So again, there's the phase one of getting the tissue to heal and phase two of actually getting the muscle back, range of motion back, decreasing scar tissue. So yeah, it's a lot. And so specific to the Tommy John surgery, which is notoriously long and hard recovery, is that you really need to get both the shoulder and the elbow rehabbed and back full go, because if you go back too soon and you have any imbalance between the two, you're going to end up overloading that medial side of the elbow, and bam, you're going to have a round two with the Tommy John surgery, which of course no one wants. So it is definitely a long, drawn-out process, but really that's what it boils down to, is getting the graft to incorporate and then getting the muscle back and the range of motion back.
Maybe a stupid question I want to ask, but, you know, we've talked a lot about ACL injuries the last couple of years when it comes to offensive linemen, Bakhtiari and Ryan Ramczyk, with cartilage issues and that. Like, we don't know how it's going to recover and all that. Is there anything similar to that when it comes to Tommy John surgeries or elbow surgeries like there has been with offensive linemen and the cartilage issues, or is it pretty straightforward?
It can happen. Yeah, absolutely. It can happen. It's not nearly as common for a couple reasons. One is the actual mechanism of the injury. So if we think about ACL injuries, it's actually a pretty violent event to the knee. So when we look at the x-rays and MRIs, we'll often see these classic bone bruise patterns, or even sometimes small fractures of where the bones really impact each other. Because if you were to take like a split second x-ray at the moment of a torn ACL, the knee is like halfway dislocated. It's a very traumatic event. So anyone out there who's had an ACL tear will tell you, they know when it happens. It's a pop, and they can feel the leg shift. The elbow, it's different. Even with an acute UCL, which they're usually not, they're usually chronic, but with an acute one, it's not going to be something that's such a violent event to the joint. Secondly, is the knee is weight-bearing, so you're bearing weight across a lot more force goes through it as opposed to the elbow. But to answer your question, yes, you can get injuries to the outer side of the elbow, and the reason for that is if you're lax on the inner part, that loading gets shifted to the outer part of the elbow. So we do see injuries between in what we call the radiocapitellar joint, which is the outer part of the elbow. And that's actually one of the things that we'll see in young athletes. We'll see injury to that cartilage. and we trace it back to medial-sided elbow problems, and you hopefully can rehab it on young athletes prior to any Tommy John surgery. But you can see it just, again, not nearly as common. And to finish that thought, if there is cartilage issues, back to the non-weight-bearing thing, you just don't bear weight through your elbow, so people tolerate it a lot better. So small cartilage injuries in the elbow often aren't a huge issue, whereas cartilage issues in the knee can become very, very big problems.
Interesting. Man, how do you remember all this stuff, dude? It's just... I try to, you know, kind of catch you on one, but man, you come through. You come through every single time.
Well, if I didn't, that'd be a problem.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. So, but man alive. So, good stuff as always, Doc. We appreciate it catching up with you. And I know we're probably, you know, we're 3 weeks away from the draft. I'm kind of wondering, are we going to get that mystery injury now that pops up from one of these top prospects? You know, that usually kind of gets flagged leading up to it.
It will, yeah. I mean, the other thing you do is you'll see those mystery slides on the day of, where it's just an injury that no one really is talking about, and all of a sudden everyone projected this guy to be top 10, top 20, and they're just slipping down the board. And often there is a medical reason behind that. It's not always disclosed or discussed, but I'm sure we'll see something pop up.
Yeah, because was that a few years ago, like Miles Jack, that linebacker that was supposed to be like a top 5 pick, and then he like went all the way down to, I think, the second round or something like that, because was it a knee issue that they found or whatever?
Exactly. Yep. And those are the kind of things that, again, there's so much money invested in these athletes that they really go through the fine-tooth comb on them, and they'll find things. And it's pretty amazing to see what some of these athletes have been through to get where they are. And unfortunately, sometimes that leaves scars, sometimes literally and figuratively. But, yeah, that can really affect the draft status.
Do you think that's a big reason really quickly? Because I know, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, the load management thing. And, you know, guys don't play 82 games in the NBA anymore, or baseball or football or anything like that. You know, you got the load management. But I feel like it's because these teams are protecting their product. And even like, you know, maybe even the leagues in some point, too, want to make sure their guys or stars don't get hurt because they want them on TV and such. You know, do you think the load management part is just because, you know, they're trying to protect that product so they don't get hurt because they're investing so much money into them?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I know we talked last time about the drop tackle in the NFL, for example. I mean, they're doing that, or the hip drop tackle, I'm sorry, is because they're trying to protect their asset. I mean, I'm sure altruistically everyone's like, they just want to keep athletes healthy. I'm sure there's some of that, but really what they want is they want the athletes who are getting the big money, who are drawn to fans, and they want that product on the field. So, yeah, that's true. And I mean, I think really what you look at the you know, the 1970s, 80s, whatever, the, you know, the generation of the tough guys, and compare that. So, I mean, that's the debate with like LeBron versus Jordan. It's like, who's tough? Well, you know, Jordan never missed a game, and LeBron, all this stuff. I mean, if you look at the longevity that LeBron James has, now he's a unicorn for sure, but I mean, there's no question part of that is because they're able to do that, and it just didn't happen back then. Mm-hmm. You know, back in the day, people were expected to be on day in, day out. You're getting this paycheck, you show up and play. Is that always good for the body? Absolutely not. So, I mean, there's some truth that really can be protective and helpful. So there's a lot of things that go into that, but you're absolutely right that the big-time owners, they want their athletes on the field playing, and so if they're injured, they're not on the field.
Yeah, like we were kind of going through, like Cy Young, all-time leader in complete games. He's got 749. The next closest active player is Verlander, and he's only got 26. That's just, yeah, that discrepancy there is unreal. Unreal. So
Yeah. And I mean, if you also look at the velocity that pitcher's thrown now compared to back then, mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things, but you're absolutely correct. I mean, they're just not going to. I mean, you can get a pitcher that'll throw a complete game, you know, here and there, but it's such a rarity. And the reason is because that just puts so much stress across the body. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's Dr. Crow, Chippewa Valley Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. As always, man, we appreciate you popping on Friday mornings and answering our questions. Enjoy the weekend, and let's catch up again next week. Okay, bud?
Absolutely. Take care.
You got it. There you go. There's Dr. Austin Crow, Chippewa Valley Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, for our Inside the Training Room.